Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson with our host, psychologist, and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson, and our physician in residence, Dr. Meg Meeker. And today, Dad and Meg, we have the honor of inviting someone in who you and I respect a lot, Dad.
Well, let me tell you about that. I've known this man for a long time. We're speaking of Dr. Joe White. And the year was 1985. I'll bet you, Joe, you don't remember this. Maybe you do. We had a mutual friend, a physician by the name of Dr. Trevor Mabry. He was killed in a plane crash. Mm. We both lost a great friend. And long before I knew you, I was being told about you. He talked about you every time we were together. You got to meet this young man then, Joe White. And I invited you to come. And this was in Southern California. And I invited you to our studio. And you came in. You brought enough papers to fill the whole studio. I don't know where you thought you were going to review them, but you came prepared for bear, and there was an instant friendship that occurred. And you've been on this program and the previous one for all those years. I'm sure 20 times or more, maybe 25. Every time you come, you have a surprise. You come with something for me. You brought football helmets one day, and you brought a baton another time. And
Came in chains,
right? And this time you have come dressed as though you were hunting turkey. I mean, you've got all of this camouflage stuff on with something across your face. I didn't even know you when you walked in, but I never know what to expect. But I'm telling you, it is good to have you back.
Well, I do remember 1985 well. The Bears won the Super Bowl. And for me, I was in the Super Bowl when I came to do the radio interview with you. And I'll never forget how intimidated I was just by this microphone and the millions of people that were on the other end of the microphone. But I remember walking into the studio, Dr. Dobson, and I remember there as nervous as I was, and I was just fit to be tied, there was a little dead sparrow just outside the door on the ground. He had flown himself into a window just outside of your studio. And as I walked in the door to your studio, a sweet little voice just said to me, you know, Joe, I know about that sparrow down there that's dead on the ground. Mm-hmm. And if I know that a sparrow falls, then I certainly know about your heart today, and it's going to be fine.
Did you pick him up and bring him in? I don't remember that.
No, sir, I did not let him lay.
Well, and that's just the beginning of a long, long friendship. Mm-hmm. You're married to Debbie Jo. You have four grown kids.
Yes, sir.
And you have 11 grandchildren.
Yes, sir.
And life is good.
Well, I married my hero, 41 years. She is, I call her NFL. I'm D3. She's way out of my league. I don't have any excuse in the world to be with such an amazing girl, and I love her more today than I loved her when I met her at SMU years ago when she was cheering for my college football team.
Yeah, you played football there, didn't you?
She was our cheerleader.
Were you a halfback in those days?
I played noseman, believe it or not.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Joe, you are the president of the Kanakuk camps in near Branson, Missouri, and you've had kids come in there. How many kids have come to Kanakuk?
Well, in all the Kanakuk camps and the Kids Across America camps, the urban camps, there have been about 400,000 kids over 89 years we've gotten to work with.
Unbelievable. Love kids, don't you?
Oh, that's my life. I've never outgrown. You know, kids are America's greatest natural resource. They're the most important thing this nation has. And I've never grown in any way aloof to the responsibility and the joy of getting to work with kids. It's the greatest thing in the world.
Dr. Meeker, you are, for the first time that I've been here, you are with us on camera. I can see you now. You can see me. Our listeners can't see each other. But you have never met Dr. Joe White, have you?
I have not, but I will tell you, I can tell why you really like this man, you know, just listening to a talk, because my heart as well is for all the kids across America. And you're absolutely right. They are our greatest natural resource. And I know that we're going to talk about fatherhood today, and I'm very anxious to hear what you have to say about dads, and in particular, how we mothers and grandmothers can support our dads.
Yes.
Because I just saw a 16-year-old boy in my office today, and it broke my heart. He is lost. Mm. He doesn't know where his dad is, and he's been raised by women and has no male role model in his life. And so, you know, what can we as ardent child advocates do for kids like that?
Well, you're asking the right man. And in fact, as we get into that subject, Ryan, I want to ask you how you feel about Joe White, because you've had a relationship that goes back almost as far. And it actually began with my deciding that you were going to go to Kennecuck camps in the summer. Well, you went there as a counselor.
I did. You know what? Do you know how long it's been?
I have no idea.
It's 25 years this year.
Wow.
That makes me feel a little old, I got to say. 25 years this year, I went as a counselor. I was just talking to my dad about this, because I have a friend, Matt Baldwin. He's got a clothing company called Standard Style. And I was at Red Rocks over the weekend interviewing Toby Mack and John Cooper from Skillet. And I saw a guy with a hat that said KC on it. And it looks just like one of Matt's hats. And I said, "Did you get that at Standard Style?" And his face lit up and he said, "I did." And I said, "Oh, I'm really good friends with Matt Baldwin." And he goes, "How do you know Matt Baldwin?" I said, "I was his camp counselor." And I've just realized it was 25 years ago I was his camp counselor.
At Kennecuck.
At Kennecuck,
in fact.
Yeah. I always say, Joe, they're the three most influential people in my life are my dad, Joe White, and Dr. David Noble.
Wow.
They've had more influence over me than any other men in my 44 years on life.
And Joe, that's why I love you so much. I mean, there are many reasons, but what you contributed to our son, you can't put into words. But as an introduction to our listeners, for those who don't know you, describe Kennecuck. And then we'll get to Meg's question about what you do with young men and young women when you have an opportunity to train them.
Well, Kennecuck is a string of sports camps for America's kids. In fact, they come from all over the world. But kids like Ryan Dobson, and I'll never forget when Ryan first got up, Dr. Dobson, to give his first talk. He was 19 years old, and he got up in front of the kids and he spoke. And I'll never forget the talk in my life. Just crazy gifted at communicating with kids. Mm-hmm. But I've gotten to watch Ryan develop as a young man now to a dad and a successful professional
guy.
You got
to meet Lou today.
Yeah, I did. I got to meet the kids, and boy, beautiful kids, by the way, Ryan. But we get to see kids grow up, whether they come to us at age 7, which is where we begin our journey with kids, or they begin at age 18, 19, or 20. Mm-hmm. We get to see America's kids grow up. And our goal is to evangelize and equip the next generation to reach the world for Christ. Our goal is to build leaders. And we believe in the heart of every child, whether he's 7 or 18, there's a little bitty seed called Christian biblical leadership that for most kids will never sprout, because a parent has never known how to water that seed and nurture that seed. But we believe it's there. And we believe if you believe enough in a child, if you believe enough in the heart of a child, and convince that child that he really does have the seed of godly leadership in his heart, eventually, Jimmy's going to believe in himself, and eventually he is going to become a leader of impact around this country.
Let's go back to Dr. Meg's question to you about how to develop boys especially, but how to be a father to children. You're seen as a surrogate father to tens of thousands of children. And you've not only done it through Kennecuck, but many other avenues, and you work at it today.
It's a huge blessing. It's indescribably great. I still coach football at the camps. I still counsel the kids. I still get a chance to speak to the kids at night in our K-Life rallies. But the fun thing about it in Psalms 127, in fact, the reason that I camoed up today in my bow hunting gear,
I
came in
it.
Here with a white bow that was loaned to me by the archery hut here in Colorado Springs. I have my bow here that's on loan. And this archery arrow is because Psalms 127 says, rightly, that our kids are our joy. They're our arrows. And we are mighty warriors as parents. And our job is to shoot straight arrows into the bullseye of biblical life. In this case, biblical manhood for the boys and biblical womanhood for the girls. And I'm excited that I get to be a little part of the equation to help parents shoot and build straight arrows and find the bullseye, which is a kid who loves the Lord and who wants to make the Lord known to his world. And yes, Dr. Dobson, there's no greater joy in the world to be sort of a fellow archer with the moms and dads around the country and around the world.
I love that visual. You know, I love that visual because we really are the archers, aren't we?
Yes.
And but as you're saying that, I can hear some parents who are listening going, well, wait a minute, I'm not sure I know how to shoot right. Or what if I, you know, release that bow and the arrow goes to the left and to the right and I can't get him right into the bullseye? And I think a lot of parents are lacking confidence today. Can you address that, Joe, please?
Yeah, Meg, absolutely. You know, the arrow I'm looking at, if you can visualize out there as you listen to your radio, you can see the fletching on the arrow, the little feathers that guide the arrow. And I think the most exciting part about parenting, by far, and according to my grown kids who are now out there making an impact for Christ around the country, the most important part is when the parents, night by night, day by day, drip by drip, put spiritual truths into their kids' hearts to put fletching on the arrows that makes the arrow go straight. And we did it a night at a time.
You call that fletching. I call them feathers.
Yes.
I mean, is
yes.
that what you're talking
yes.
about?
Yes, one and the same.
I've never heard fletching.
Yes, yes, that's exactly right, one and the same. But we did it a day at a time. You know, Deuteronomy 6 is the great charge for dads. It's the greatest charge in the Bible for dads. And it says, don't forget that the Lord your God is one. And you know what? You need to teach this diligently to your sons and daughters when you rise up and when you lay down. And that means somehow at breakfast, either mom or dad, and my case when I was home and I wasn't traveling, I had the joy of cooking pancakes or eggs or huevos rancheros or anything the kids wanted so I could have a little short devotional. We would just open up Proverbs and we would take a verse in Proverbs before they go to school. And then at night, I had the blessing as a dad to lay by the kids, tuck them in bed, because that's what Deuteronomy 6 says to do. And then we would memorize a Bible verse together. And we had fun. We made pictures out of these Bible verses. And you know what? Over the years, the verses became chapters. And over the years, the chapters became books. And when they went on their first date, I couldn't go. When they went to their first party, I wasn't there. When they went to college, I was home. But God's word never left them alone. And it's the word of God poured into our kids' hearts that makes the arrow go straight to the bullseye.
You made a big project out of teaching scripture to your kids. And one year when you came to Focus on the Family, long, long time ago, you had been memorizing the book of Philippians. And we invited you to come to our senior cabinet meeting. And we didn't know what you were going to do. And you walked in and you had a fake chain around your hands. And you were barefoot. And you were playing the role of the Apostle Paul. And you sat down there and without notes and without the Bible, you quoted the whole book of Philippians. Do you remember that?
Well, I remember it well, Dr. Dobson, and I want to be the first to say there's no vanity in memorizing scripture at all. But memorizing scripture with your kids at night. And again, parents, it's the easiest thing you've ever done. One verse a week, put it in pictures, have fun with it, enjoy it with the kids. And the neat thing is, it's like my little junior high daughter said, when you have God's word on your heart, with all the decisions you have to make as an adolescent, you don't have to go home and look it up because it's written on your heart. Mm-hmm. And God will speak to your heart, according to my kids, all day and all night about the truths that are on their heart.
You know, Shirley and I are reading the book of Psalms again right now. And 2 days ago, we read the 100th Psalm. And as we were reading it, a memory began running through my head because Ryan, at I think 5 years of age, got up in front of about 800 people and quoted the 100th Psalm. I'll never forget it. This little kid standing up there with passion. Do you remember it, Ryan?
I do. I remember, and I also remember because Mom said she knew I was going to be a speaker when I got up to do it. I moved the mic down to my level.
I can see that.
Someone asked me about that the other day, and it's interesting, Joe, that you talk about this because you're reading scripture. It's a normal, natural thing. And so your kids grew up, that wasn't abnormal. If you brought a kid in at age 15 that didn't have a family like that, that would have been abnormal to them. But to your kids, it was normal to read the Bible and to memorize scripture. They've been doing that their entire lives. And someone asked me that about public speaking. Well, why did you do that? And I said, well, why wouldn't I do it? I grew up watching my dad. He gets up in front of thousands of people and they listen to him. Why wouldn't they listen to me too? It was the normal thing to do. And when I got up there, the mic wasn't reaching me. I reached up and pulled it down. That's what I've seen him do hundreds and hundreds of times. And those role models.
You never know what kids are keying on in their relationship.
You talk about that. You don't. Teach your kids, they catch it.
It's what, caught.
Caught, yes.
Yeah, that's right. Ryan, you a while back were teaching Lincoln the 91st Psalm.
Because that's he was having nightmares.
Yeah, he was having nightmares.
Oh, Joe, it was terrible. For years, he would wake up shrieking, and it's that night terror, eyes open but not focused. And we didn't know what to do. I mean, and listen, we don't have a TV. We don't have cable. We don't have anything like that. I mean, we watch Netflix every now and then, but we're really, I'm one of those parents. We are careful with what we, you know, what we let our kids watch. And I'm trying to think of who it was that told me, oh, we read scripture to our kids before they go to bed. And they said 91st Psalm. And that night we started doing that. And I'm telling you, it may be a year since he had a nightmare. They just went away. We would do it every single night. Every night we
God
would.
God promises.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be my new treatment for patients who come in with night issues and night terrors. 91st Psalm.
Cut out TV, add the Psalms.
Well, Psalms 119 says, "Thy word is my counselor."
Yeah.
And indeed, when the kids would want a hockey stick or rollerblades, we would say, okay, let's memorize a chapter together, and we'll go to Walmart and we'll buy some rollerblades. A dad told me the other day his daughter wanted an iPhone 5, and he said, well, let's memorize five chapters in the Bible. So they took five short psalms. It took them months, and they memorized those five short psalms. And now his daughter has an iPhone, but she has the biblical integrity now on how to use the iPhone properly. So it was a way of life for the Hebrew people. And you know what? It's supposed to be a way of life for all biblical people.
That's such an excellent point, Joe, because many times I hear parents say to me, you know, I don't know what God's will is, and I don't know if I can hear God's voice. And God speaks to us all the time through the scriptures. So usually it's just a matter of opening the book and reading and memorizing and allowing God to speak to us and to our children.
Absolutely. I'm at Ole Miss. I'm sitting on the side of a basketball court recruiting counselors for Kanakuk, memorizing Romans 6. I was watching the game and doing a little memory time, and the running back of the football team came over and sat down. He said, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm memorizing a little piece of scripture. And he said, really? Long story short, he gave his life to Christ that night. He was living way outside of the faith, but he gave his life to Christ that night, became an exceptional godly man, actually became a counselor at our camp, one of the most fabulous athletes in America. And I said, Johnny, what gave you a heart to give your heart to Christ tonight? He said, when I was 5 years old, my grandmother would memorize Bible verses with me before bed. And he said, those Bible verses never left me alone.
Oh, yep.
You know what? You brought actual arrows here today, which you use for hunting purposes. And arrows are like scriptures in your mind. When the child is a little older and he has memorized a scripture that's relevant to a particular moment later on, those passages are like arrows. They go zinging into the brain. It's amazing they stay with you.
Yes, again, and God promises to the one who memorizes Scripture and meditates on it day and night in Psalms 1 that you'll be blessed in whatever you do. Doesn't mean the road will be simple, but it does mean in the difficulty of the road, there'll be an exceptional blessing.
What are the ages of your kids now?
Well, they're in their 30s, and yeah. The grandkids are range 3 to 15.
Have they continued this practice of learning Scripture, and are they teaching them to your grandkids?
They are, and by the grace of God, you know, my kids were like everybody else's kids, and I'm sure Ryan can relate to this as well. We had just another American home with a dad who was probably average to below average, a superstar mom, but we had an average home, and God used four difficult roads to break all four of my children. And so we walk the roads of parenthood like everybody else does. But the Word of God prevailed in their lives. And today, all four kids, by the grace of God, are married to godly spouses, and they're raising godly kids in a godly home. 3 John verse 4 says, you have no greater joy than this, that your children would walk in the truth. And so they're going to heaven, and they're raising kids in Scripture, as you said, Jim. And you know what? I'm the happiest dad in the world. But it's not because I was a great dad. It's because I had a great wife, and God's Word, like arrows, penetrated the kids' heart throughout their childhood.
You know, I'm sorry. I got to interrupt.
Got it.
I disagree, Joe.
Thank you. My dad
does that to me, too. He says, oh, I'm not a great man. And that's not true. You're both great dads, and you're both great men. Great men make sacrifices. Great men make great choices. And you've chosen to spend that time with your kids. You've chosen to prioritize what's actually important. It's not stuff. It's about eternity. You're a great father. Your kids would say you're a great father. I would say that about my dad because he makes those hard choices.
Great fathers are also humble men. So that is kind of you to say that, Ryan. But I don't feel that way. I just feel like by the grace of God, we're here. I mean, this culture is at war with parents for the hearts and minds of the kids. I mean, they're working on it all day, every day. Mm-hmm. What Hollywood is doing, what literature is doing, what television is doing, what school is often doing is undermining the faith of the parents. And you better work on that pretty hard.
That's why the psalm says, like arrows in the hand of a mighty warrior. I'm looking at this compound bow, this great archery hunting bow here that's going to shoot this arrow, hopefully at an elk one day, Ryan.
Someday.
And I think about, as a dad, as a mom, my job is to draw the string well, to aim the arrow straight at the bullseye. And by the way, the bullseye is not becoming the homecoming queen. The bullseye is not becoming the skinniest, cutest girl in that pair of designer jeans. The bullseye is not that my son is the starting quarterback. Those are fine. But the bullseye, yes, in the 21st century, the bullseye is still that my child walks in the truth in whatever field he's in. But as a parent, I've got to operate the bow to get the arrow into the target. Well, as my friend Tony Cimarusti, one of the best fathers of four boys I've ever met in my life, his boys are hockey players, football players, athletes, going to the Naval Academy, going to Wheaton, etc. But growing up in a tough public school world, he says there's three things a dad needs to do. One, marry the right woman. Two, marry the right woman. And three, marry the right woman. And I said,
and
Tony.
You did all three, didn't you?
Yes, he did, and I did. But he said, affirm, affirm, affirm. And he said, my wife taught me, as she encouraged me specifically by saying, Tony, I love you when. Tony, I appreciate you when. Tony, I love it when. And then she would fill in the blanks. And he said, I learned from Martha how to be an encouraging dad and how to specifically fill my kids' cup so full that their friends wouldn't be able to poke enough holes in it to let all the water out.
What a great point to end today's program, and what a wonderful way to begin preparing for Father's Day this weekend.
Oh, it really is, Dr. Meeker. Joe White has become an expert on parenting, and I'm always so encouraged and challenged by his perspective on the importance of raising kids who grow up in the love and admonition of the Lord. You've been listening to the first part of Shooting Straight Arrows here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. And if you'd like some ideas about how to celebrate Father's Day this weekend, visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, where you'll find several resources that will help you honor and affirm your dad this weekend. You can also contact us by calling 877-732-6825.
Thank you very much for joining us today. And don't forget to join us for the conclusion of Shooting Straight Arrows with Dr. Joe White on the next edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.